Let me ask you a question. If you were to die, where would you go? Would you step into the presence of God and know that you are home? Would you know that because you know that you're beloved of God? Because you've experienced the loving kindness of God? Because you're secure in Him? Because you know that there was a covenant cut for you, a covenant that guarantees you life with God? We'll talk about it today. So excited about our lesson today, and I'm excited about it because it has to do with covenant, and everything that God does is based on covenant. When we look at 1 Samuel chapter 20, we're going to find David and Jonathan making another covenant in addition to the one that Jonathan made with David in 1 Samuel 18, when he took off his robe and gave it to David and gave him his sword, his bow, and his belt. Now, what is the circumstances of this covenant? Well, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 20. And remember, we're marking every occurrence of covenant. We're also marking every reference to love. And any synonym, by the way, that goes with covenant, we want to mark in the same way. Now, if you downloaded our study guide, if you went to preceptsforlife.com and you downloaded our study guide, then you know that I suggest that you mark covenant throughout your Bible in one particular way. I color it red on the inside and yellow on the outside. And I have a purpose for that. Because when a covenant is made, it is cut. There is blood that is shed. And when a covenant is made, God becomes the sovereign administrator of that covenant. In other words, and I color it yellow around that. That's my color for God, because God watches over the covenants. Well, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 20 and look at what is happening. Remember, David is convinced that Saul is out to kill him, although he has said that he is not going to kill him. And David is very, very concerned. There's a feast coming up, not a feast, but a celebration. And so they're going to have this celebration, and David is expected to be at dinner. And David tells Jonathan, "Tell your dad that I've gone back to Bethlehem to celebrate with my family. And it's a yearly sacrifice. And if he gets upset, then I'll know that he's planned evil against me." Well, Jonathan says that he will let him know. Listen to what he says in verse 12. "Then Jonathan said to David, 'The Lord God of Israel be witness. When I have sounded out my father about this time tomorrow or the third day, behold, if there is a good feeling toward David, shall I then not send to you and make it known to you? If it please my father to do you harm, may the Lord do so to Jonathan and more also.'" Now remember, this is the oath that they swore when they made a covenant. Because in a covenant, two become one. It's a solemn binding agreement. And when they become one, then they treat each other as they would treat themselves. And so he says, "May God do so to me and more if I don't keep this covenant." When they made a covenant, remember, they cut an animal in two, or there was a shedding of blood in some form. And normally when they cut the animal in two, they would pass between the pieces in a figure eight, and they would stop at one point in between the pieces, point to heaven and say, "God, do so to me," pointing to the animals, "and more also if I do not keep this covenant." In other words, "God, you're the sovereign administrator of this covenant. And if something happens and I don't keep it, then I'm asking you to put me to death, because it's a solemn binding agreement." You say, where do you get all that from? Well, you know, you're very wise to ask that. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 15 for just a minute. In Genesis chapter 15, we have Abraham making a covenant, God making a covenant with Abraham. And when he makes the covenant with Abraham, this is what he says. He says in verse 9, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, God is speaking, and a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he, Abram, brought all these to God and cut them in two and laid each half opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds. The birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. This is before his name was changed to Abraham, which happens in Genesis 17. In verse 12, now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, terror and great darkness fell on him. And God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will judge that nation. And then he says, and it will come about in the fourth generation that they will return here. In verse 17, it says, and it came about after the covenant is stated, it will come about that after the sun had set, that it was very dark. And behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch, which passed between these pieces. A smoking oven and a flaming torch that passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to you and your descendants, I have given this land. And he lays out the land of Canaan, which is given by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as an everlasting possession made by covenant. You say, whoa, that is really awesome. Yes, it is. A lot of people don't believe it. They won't buy it, but it really is absolutely awesome. And what God has promised, he's going to keep. Now, when Jonathan says to David, or when they say to one another, let's look at it. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 20 again. But when we look at this passage and we find Jonathan saying, if it please my father to do you harm, may the Lord do so to Jonathan and more also, if I do not make it known to you and send you away that you may go in safety. Watch what he says. And may the Lord be with you as he's been with my father. If I'm still alive, if I live, David, Jonathan is saying, if I live, will you not show me the loving kindness of the Lord that I might not die? In other words, look, I know you're going to be king, and I want God to be with you as he was with my father. And if I'm alive, when you become king, will you show me loving kindness? Will you not put me to death? Now, this word loving kindness in the Hebrew is hesed. And we believe, and a lot of scholars believe, that this is a covenant term. That when you come into a covenant, that what you do is you experience the loving kindness of your covenant partner. And so Jonathan is saying to David, will you not show me loving kindness that I may not die? Do you realize that when Jesus died on the cross, that he was making a new covenant? Not the covenant that God made with the children of Israel when he led them out of the land. I'll get it straight in just a minute. When he led them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, the covenant that they broke, which was the law. But he says, a day is coming when I will make a covenant with you. When I will forgive your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. Now, that's written in Jeremiah 31, but we don't have time to go and look at that passage. But I want you to go to Matthew chapter 26, because he's talking about a new covenant. And the new covenant that he's talking about in Matthew chapter 26 is the covenant that Jesus is about to make in the upper room. Now, they're in the upper room, and they are celebrating the Passover feast, because it's the last Passover that Jesus is going to celebrate with them. And what we find is that while they were eating, Matthew 26:26, while they were eating the Passover meal, Jesus took some bread. And after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now, we know that in Corinthians, he says, "This is my body broken for you." So that body broken is a picture of that animal that is killed and laid out in two pieces. Jesus said, "Take, this is my body that is broken for you." And he says, "Take it and eat." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you." So he takes the cup, and this is the cup that has the wine in it, and he passes it to the people and to his disciples, and he says, "Drink from it, all of you. Drink from this cup of this new covenant." Now watch what he says. He says, "And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said to them, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins.'" And then he says, "But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What was he inaugurating with that broken bread, which was a picture of his body broken for us, which was a picture of that animal that was slain, with the cup, which was a picture of the blood of the new covenant? He was entering into a covenant with us that guarantees us, so to speak, the hesed, the loving kindness of God. Do you realize how precious you are to God? Do you realize what he has done for you in this new covenant? In Hebrews chapter 10, and it's speaking of Jesus making one sacrifice for sin for all time. And in Hebrews chapter 10, he quotes the promise of the new covenant when he says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart. I will put their on their mind. I will write them." And then he says, "And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin." No longer any offering for sin, because he pays for it in full through his body that has been broken for you, through his blood that has been shed for you, the broken body and the blood of the new covenant. And yet there's an exciting thing yet to see in Hebrews 10, and I'll show it to you right after this announcement. Remember how I told you that when they made a covenant, that they cut a covenant, Kerath Berith, they cut a covenant, and it was usually the cutting of an animal. And they would take that animal and they would lay it down and they would pass through the pieces. I'm coming right back to Hebrews 10, but I want to show this to you in Jeremiah chapter 34. When I studied covenant for the first time and I learned all these things, I didn't nobody took me to Jeremiah 34. And I was reading it one day, and I was doing what I've taught you to do. This is the way I study the Bible. This is why I know the Bible and remember a lot of it. It's not because I'm smart. I don't even have a degree. I have a temperature, but no degree, as I tell people. But I was reading along, and I came to the word covenant. And so I marked it. And I saw in Jeremiah chapter 34 in verse 15, and God is speaking to the children of Israel. He's really upset with them. He says, although recently you had turned and done what is right in my sight, every man proclaiming release to his neighbor, and you made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. In other words, you went to the temple and you made a covenant right before that house that is called by my name. He says, yet you turned and profaned my name. And each man took back his male servant and each man his female servant. They had made a covenant to release them and let them go, and yet they didn't do it. And so God says, therefore, verse 17, he says, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming release to his brother and each man to his neighbor. He says, behold, I'm proclaiming release to you, to the sword, to pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you a terror in all the kingdoms of the earth. And this is where I nearly came unglued, I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not fulfilled the words of the covenant which they made before me when they cut the calf in two and passed between its parts. They made a covenant. They cut the calf in two, half over here, half over there, and they passed between their parts. Well, and studying all that, I was just saying, okay, God, so they passed between the parts, and that was their part of the covenant and what they were saying. When do we do that? And then one day, when I was reading Hebrews 10, again, I just came unglued. I mean, I just fell apart. In verse 19, he says this, therefore, after saying there's one sacrifice for sin for all time, and this is the covenant that I promised when I said I would take away their sins and their iniquities, I would remember no more, verse 17 and verse 19, he says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us. Now watch, let's catch the vision of all this. Which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Now, stop and think. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, and he who knew no sin was being made sin for you and me, all of a sudden, he cried out, "Tetelestai," which means it is finished. The debt is paid in full. He paid for our sins. He paid for our sins so that you and I could have forgiveness of sins. And the minute we die, we're absent from the body and we're present with the Lord. But what happened when that occurred? Well, the gospel tells us that the veil in the temple that separated the holy place from the holy of holies, the veil in the temple was torn in two. Now, the Holy of Holies was where the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to sit, which represented the throne of God. So what was God doing? I mean, get goosebumps. It's all right. God took the veil. He tore it in two from top to bottom. That veil was a picture of the flesh of Christ, which is what he tells us in Hebrews. And that was his taking the calf, so to speak, taking the Lamb of God, putting one half over there, one half over there, and saying, okay, now you want to be in covenant with me? Come on. Come on. Walk through the pieces by faith. Make a covenant with me. I've done everything that's necessary to take away your sins. I've done everything that is necessary to deliver you from the power of the evil one. Death no longer has a power over you if your sins are forgiven. And all you have to do is believe that. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no one comes to the Father, to the throne of God, except by me. So you enter in through the rent veil of the flesh of the Son of God. That's covenant. That's passing through the pieces. And so you pass by faith through the pieces when you say to Jesus, my Lord and my God. On that day when God made a covenant with Abraham, he passed through the pieces in a smoking oven and a flaming torch. Two things. Where was the third part of the Trinity? The third part of the Trinity was represented in those animals that had been slain and in that wall of blood. When Jesus hung on the cross and he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This was God in the flesh hanging on that cross. That was God in heaven, God the Father and God the Spirit. And he's saying, Eloi, God the Father, Eloi, God the Spirit, why have you forsaken me? And God forsook him because the wages of sin is death. And the soul that sinneth, it will surely die. And Jesus took the penalty for your sins. He paid them in full. So when Jesus was buried, God raised him from the dead to say, listen, my holiness, my righteousness has been satisfied by the death of my Son on behalf of all your sins. He was raised because of our justification. Therefore, it says, we have peace with God. What David needed was peace. What Jonathan needed was peace. David was afraid he was going to lose his life at the hand of Saul. Jonathan was afraid that when David came to the throne, he would forget him and that he might put him to death, thinking that he might be a contender for the throne. But listen, what did God do? What did God do? God had Jonathan and David make a covenant again, cut a covenant, pass between the pieces and say, may the Lord do so to me and more if I break this covenant. In other words, Jonathan, if you live, you'll not be put to death by me, because this is the loving kindness of the Lord. This is the hesed. This is the loving kindness of covenant. And Jonathan is saying, David, my father will not put you to death. I'm not going to let him do that to you. I am going to protect you. And so, beloved, what happens when you come to God in covenant? When you know that you can't keep the law and you've broken it over and over and over again, then you come to God and you say, God, there's nothing good within me. I can't keep the law. God, I need mercy. And God says, how about mercy and loving kindness and grace? Will you enter into a covenant with me? Will you believe that my Son is the Lamb of God that was slain to take away your sins? Will you come to me the only way that any human being can come, and that is through the rent veil of the flesh of my Son? Because if you will come, then you will be clear of a guilty conscience, because all your sins will be forgiven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic. But you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs. But the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Beloved, what is your precept for life today? And I want you to take that literally. I want you to think precept for life, for eternal life, so that you know that if you die, that you're absent from the body, but you are present with the Lord, and you are in the arms of the Almighty. You have seen your Creator face to face. You have come to the one who has provided everything you need. His name is Jehovah Jireh, and He has provided it through the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. What is your precept for life? Your precept for life is this: examine yourself to see if you're really in the faith. Because, and God tells us this, I haven't made that up, that those aren't my words, they come from 2 Corinthians, from the very last chapter. When He finishes all of this, of talking to the church, He knows that there are people who can have a religion but not a relationship. That was me. Until the age of 29, I had a religion, but I divorced my husband. I shook my fist in the face of God and said, to hell with you, God. I turned around. I went off to do my own thing. And yet if you had said to me, are you a Christian? I would have said, of course. I've been baptized. I've been confirmed. My daddy is a minister in this denomination. Of course I'm a Christian. I mean, I live in America. Of course I'm a Christian. And at one time we could say that because mostly America was made up of Christians. But did that make me a Christian? No. I didn't become a Christian until I fell on my knees and I said, God, I cannot change my life. I cannot be good. I have tried and I have not succeeded. And God, I just give it all to you. You can do anything you want with me, anything you want, if you'll just give me peace. And there on my knees, we entered into the new covenant because I received the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believed on Jesus. And when I believed on Jesus, I passed through the pieces of the flesh, so to speak, of the rent veil of the flesh of the Son of God, and I received forgiveness of sins, and I had a power within me because the Spirit moves into every single believer. And now I was able to say no to sin. I had victory over it. God wants you to know that if you'll enter into covenant with Him, you'll not die. You'll simply go home to be with Jesus.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.